This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, we are halfway to the weekend. It's Wednesday already. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us this afternoon. And thanks for having us with you. Whether you're in your car, at work, at home, or you're working or just, you know, doing whatever you're doing, thank you for having us with you. It is an honor to be with you every afternoon here on WWL. All right, let me just remind you that we have this weather moving through the area. It's a system of thunderstorms pushing through our area. And keep it locked here on WWL and WWL.com for minute-by-minute weather updates. As soon as something happens, we'll let you know what's going on. The conditions are right for these slow-moving or training storms. It's where the storms just train over the same area. And our area is under a flood watch through 7 p.m. on Thursday. So all day today and tomorrow, we're expected to see a lot of rain. The city of New Orleans is warning that heavy rain could cause street flooding, so neutral ground parking will be allowed for drivers through Thursday at 7 p.m. So listen for weather updates every hour on the top of the hour, and we'll give you updates every time we get a chance. Okay, we're going to talk to Alexa Trisler from the WWL Weather Center, Channel 4 Weather Center, coming up at about 1:25 this afternoon. So, yeah, stay with us for that update. I'm assuming Wednesday at the Square is going to be postponed. Okay, that has been postponed. Wednesday at the Square concert series by the Young Leadership Council happens every Wednesday at Lafayette Square. But sometimes there are storms, and usually what they do is they postpone it, and then they just put it on the end. When it comes to an end, they have one more concert. Okay, it's on here. Okay, so it's going to be all right. It's going to be next Wednesday. Wait a minute, I'm confused about this. Okay, wait. It's going to be next Wednesday, May the 14th. Today's Wednesday at the square. Fest and concert has been postponed until Wednesday, May the 14th. Okay, so I guess it's kind of coming to an end. So anyway, just keep that in mind. Let's see. Okay, so the Cardinals are all locked in Sistine Chapel. And they can't have their cell phones with them. You know, what are they doing? Did you watch the movie Conclave? You know, I did. I talked about it on the show. If you want to find out a little bit about it without the ending being revealed, you can go to my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air, and scroll down until you see the review, the blog that I wrote about seeing the movie Conclave. It's fictional, but a lot of fiction is based on factual things, and information gets out about the process of selecting a pope. And so somebody wrote a thriller about that. It is fiction, but there are some things about it that are realistic, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But here's what I find interesting. Some of the cardinals have actually watched Conclave, and they say they're watching it to kind of get direction. That's kind of interesting. I think what they're going to learn most from the movie is mainly what not to do. You know, take a look at the politicking that goes on. Take a look at how little is about Catholicism and how much of it is about getting the right person in that position. And while the ending might be a little realistic, it is an interesting ending. And I think what the ending reveals is that the Catholic Church has historically had really big secrets. And we'll see what happens. We're waiting for the black smoke. White smoke means that black smoke means that they have no selection yet. And the white smoke means that they have a new pope. So anyway, we'll keep our eyes on that, as everybody is doing. But I just found it interesting that some of the cardinals are actually watching a Conclave. And we'll talk about how realistic the movie actually is a little bit later on. So, you know, yesterday we were talking about the press conference that the president of the United States had. And the new prime minister of Canada, Mark Carney, was sitting right next to him. And I was sitting there watching, oh my God, what must this guy be thinking? Because, to be honest with you, the president was full of it yesterday in a lot of what he said. And I'm not even going to go into the fact-checking about what he said, because there's no need to go into that. But a lot of what he said is just totally bogus. So Mark Carney had told a reporter, I'm glad you couldn't tell what I was actually thinking while he was talking. Burger King is facing a lawsuit over Whopper ads because the Whopper is not as big as it's supposed to be. Apparently, they say the Whopper is bigger than it really is. That's something that I guess a lot of men can relate to. All right, Tesla inventory is continuing to pile up. They're even offering a $10,000 discount to try to get people to buy Teslas. And all of this, do you know what this is all about? This is all about a rejection of the co-president for a while, which was Elon Musk, head of the Doge entity in the White House. And so just as a reminder, not everybody likes the president of the United States. Not everybody agrees with everything the president of the United States says. And again, I totally denounce any destruction of Tesla dealerships or of Tesla vehicles. Those are people's private vehicles. And, you know, a lot of people bought those vehicles long before Elon Musk stepped into the political spotlight. So that's their property. That was their choice of a car. It's a hell of a car. I mean, it really is. My son has a Tesla, and it's a hell of a car. It is fast, it's comfortable, and it's a good car. So a lot of people bought that because they liked it, and it was no support of Elon Musk. But some people have tried to get rid of their Teslas. In fact, there was a point, I think it's still going on, where Tesla is not accepting any Teslas for trade-ins because they've just got too many that they can't sell. But the Cybertruck starts at about $80,000 and goes up to $100,000 for some of the models. But there have been safety concerns, quality complaints. There have been some embarrassing recalls that have taken place on the Cybertrucks. And they're even offering a big discount, and people are still not buying. But this is a rejection from a lot of people in America of Elon Musk, Doge, and ultimately the administration that is currently in office. The U.S. Navy has lost another fighter jet. The second one lost in the Red Sea. An F-18 crashed into the Red Sea. It was coming in for a landing, and there seems to be some question about whether or not it might have been hit. It might have been hit by gunfire. Anyway, it's coming. This was from the Houthis in Yemen. And it was coming in for a landing on the aircraft carrier, the USS Harry S. Truman. And coming in for a landing, and something went wrong. The pilots ejected. They crashed into the water, but they ejected. They're alive, and they're okay. But the jet crashed, and the remains are still in the Red Sea. Four of the sources on CNN cited that the Houthi rebels did take a shot at the ship. And then there was an F/A-18 Super Hornet that just fell off the aircraft carrier the other day. They had to make some kind of a maneuver. I mean, you know, you can't just you can't just like turn that thing on a dime. I mean, it takes miles and miles to turn a ship around. And an aircraft carrier is about as big as a ship you're going to find. So they had to make some kind of a quick turn. The plane just fell off the ship. These planes cost about $60 million apiece. Imagine that. So two planes just dropped into the water. You know, since so many people like to do comparisons, we're not going to do this. But so many people like to make comparisons with the last administration that it really would be fair to figure out how many jets the Navy lost when Biden was president. Now, we're not going to do that on this show, but I'm just pointing out that that's what people do. And that's what the current president is doing. So many comparisons with the past. As soon as something happens, it's a comparison with what happened in the past. So we could look up and see how many jets were lost under the Biden administration and criticize the current president with that. But we're not gonna do that on the show. All right. So there's some new information about that that woman, Shiloh Hendricks, the woman who has raised, as of the other day, I don't know how much it is now. I don't know if we can find an update. I'm gonna ask Ian to check into this. I looked and had a hard time finding an update. Maybe they don't want to say. But as of the other day, this woman who shouted the N-word at a five-year-old African-American child who apparently stole something from her, she had raised over $600,000, claiming that she needed to relocate. But essentially, this is money supporting the use of the N-word. I did a video, and it's posted on my Instagram account, Scoot on the Air Instagram. It's also posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook. And you can take a look at the video, see if you agree with me. You can comment on it. A lot of the comments either directly or vicariously support the use of the N-word. And to me, it's just shocking because that doesn't need to happen. Now, the new information is coming from The Daily Wire and host Matt Walsh, who is a pro-President of the United States advocate. He is pro-president. And so I don't know whether this information is true. Because there's reason to believe that any pro-president group or media site is not going to be honest. One of the claims is that the child was much older than 5 years old. There is another part of this that says the child may not have been autistic. Okay, well, you know, because he didn't look autistic to this person, Matt Walsh. If you just see a child running, you're not going to be able to tell if they're autistic. I mean, that's just ridiculous to even think that. So I don't know how he has this information, but I'm presenting this as possible information, but it's discredited because it comes from such a biased source. All right. Attorney General Pam Bondi is carrying around a vial of fake fentanyl to show that this is all it takes to kill you. And the headline reads, here's the headline. Pam Bondi says she's carrying around a vial of fake fentanyl to show that's all it takes to kill you. Well, I hope there's no criticism of her carrying around a vial of fake fentanyl. Because you can't carry around fentanyl. And I think it's okay for her to carry around this vial showing this is all it takes to kill you. So I don't have a problem with that. All right, so the bill banning furries in Texas schools has died. We're going to tell you why it died, and it's really kind of funny. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon about anything we talk about, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you as well. And good afternoon to everybody, yeah. Except all the people that have donated money to Shiloh Hendricks.
I know.
It's pretty easy to find the Give, Send, Go page. She has raised $739,404.
$739,000. $100,000.
From donors such as, why are Somali pedos in Western countries anyway? Whites have the cards when we act together. You were right. Wow. White racists all the way. Wow.
Yeah, really, really shocking. Yeah. I would agree that it's appalling. And some of the comments on my Facebook page and Scoot on their Instagram reflect this support of the use of the N-word. Now, look, the child should not have stolen anything, and that's wrong. And that child should be punished for doing what he did.
That's her framing, by the way. Nobody has ever seen the footage of what actually happened. She claims that the kid stole stuff from her diaper bag. Others say, you know, the kid just like touched it or went through it. This 5-year-old autistic child, black child, dared to approach her precious diaper bag. And that's when she said, get away from the bag, you N-word.
Well, he shouldn't look in it. I mean, you know, but nobody should touch people's stuff. But, you know, if he's 5 years old, if he's 7 years old, whatever, you know, especially an autistic child can do things that the other children don't do. And while it's not right, she did not have to use the N-word. She used the N-word because it's comfortable for her to use the N-word. And by playing the victim here and raising all this money, she is asking people to support her use of the N-word. And there's just no need to use it. And I think this is really disgusting and appalling, but it is a reminder about the racists that we have living among us. I mean, hardcore racists.
A note, too, about this website, this GiveSendGo website. This is not GoFundMe, which is a different thing. GiveSendGo is a crowdfunding website that was originally founded by Christian organizations to fund mission trips. And then they figured out very quickly that there is a whole ecosystem of people who want to fundraise off of stuff just like this that cannot use the more mainstream platform, GoFundMe, for purposes like this, because it goes against the terms and conditions at GoFundMe. So now GiveSendGo has expanded, and they have done fundraising for Kyle Rittenhouse, for this woman, Shiloh Hendricks. You know, anybody that's been in this kind of spotlight for the last several years, where it's possible for them to get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in donations from racist maniacs.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done. And they've carved this out for themselves under the banner of free speech. Everybody should have the ability to fundraise money for whatever you want.
Well, look,
but what they won't do? You can't come on GiveSendGo and say, I need money for abortion care, or I need money for gender affirming therapy. They won't do that.
Oh, they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
Well, look, this idea about getting the money. I mean, you're a racist if you give money for that cause. If you support the use of the N-word and you give somebody money, that's a sign of being a racist. If you're a racist and you admit it, cool. But there are a lot of people who don't want to admit that they're racist, and they say it's freedom of speech. Well, okay, it is freedom of speech. And I said yesterday that the police investigated in Rochester, Minnesota, and their investigation was concluded. They turned it over to the city attorney's office. I don't know that a crime was committed. I don't think using the N-word is a crime. It is protected by freedom of speech. But there are things that I could say about you that I could get away with. I could say things about you personally, some of you personally. I could find out a little bit of information, say some things about you personally. I could do that with some of the names that I see on my Facebook page and Instagram account. I could say something personally that I would couch it in the context of freedom of speech. I wouldn't say anything slanderous or anything like that, because I'm smart enough to stay away from that. But I could say some really damaging things and hurtful things about you.
I mean, the English language belongs to everybody. You know what? Use whatever language you want, but understand that there will be consequences for that. And if you just use this word out in the universe, it's unlikely that you're going to catch a criminal charge for that. But if it escalates to the point where it can be called harassment, that's a crime. So if you are causing alarm or fear or emotional distress in somebody with the language that you are using at them, you could catch a criminal charge for that, and
well,
this woman may still.
That's true, but just shouting the N-word in itself is not necessarily a crime. I mean, some people want it to be, but it's not necessarily a crime. But if you use it in a certain context, Well, that could be a crime. All right, if you have a comment, the Okanar Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. Rain's going to be with us for a day or so now, so let's just be safe out there. Drive carefully. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. This is Luke Combs. I posted part of the show from yesterday where I was talking about Luke Combs saying that his priorities are in order this year. He says, my job is not more important than my kids. And I was talking yesterday about how it's easy for Luke Combs to say that because he's a multimillionaire and he's going to have money in the future. Doesn't have to worry about money anymore. And it's really easy to say, well, you know, I got my priorities in order. You know, work is not number one. My kids are number one. Well, when you have that kind of money and you can set your own schedule in terms of when you go on tour, it's easy to make your kids number one. But a lot of men have to go through things where they have to put work first, but they're putting work first because they love their kids. Women are doing the same thing. Sometimes it's women who are in that position. It was hard for me to talk about this yesterday, but I did. The blog and part of the show from yesterday is posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can comment on that. And if you're in a situation where you can relate to that, please share your comments. All right, we've got a lot of rain in the area. Let's go to the WWL Louisiana Forecast Center. Alexa Trishler joins us. Alexa, it is a rainy day.
It is. You know what? I have to agree with you on what you just said. That was a really good point.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, you know, a lot of people go through that. And when Luke Combs said that, I thought, well, okay, you know, this is all cool. But
yeah,
it's you know, it's easy for him, but it's not easy for everybody else. And I went through a time in my life when I was made to feel like I was putting work ahead of my son. But in reality, I was I had to move because that was the only opportunity I had to continue to provide for his mom, and also for his private school. So it was a tough situation.
Right, 100%. I know everyone has to go through, most people have to go through something like that. But yeah, it's a really, really great point. But like you mentioned, it's been a rainy morning. It's been a mess out there this morning with the heavy rain. And it's still raining now, not as bad as it was this morning. We had some really strong storms roll in this morning, especially seeing some damage across the West Bank and Marrero. Saw the worst of the damage from the strong winds from the storms today. Luckily, the winds have subsided. We're still dealing with some soaking rain throughout the early part of the afternoon. But things will be quieting down going into the evening commute. So by this evening, we should be done with the rain.
So the worst of it came this morning for the greater New Orleans area. And,
yes.
And is there's not another wave that's lining up to come through here?
No, the final push is moving through now. We've got some steady and heavy rain down the bayou, closer to the coast. We've got some heavier showers, and we've got some steady and soaking rain across the city and our river parishes. But this is pretty much it. It'll continue to rain over the next probably 2 hours or so, 2 to 3 hours at most. And once we get to about dinner time tonight, the storms look to wrap up. Yeah, the worst of it really happened this morning where we got the really heavy rain, the strong winds and the lightning. And the thing is, though, tomorrow we could see a few showers and storms. Doesn't look like as bad as today, but there is still going to be some rain in the forecast tomorrow, and it could be heavy. And then Friday, it looks like our rain chance will be pretty high. So planning for some more heavy rain on Friday as well.
All right, what about the weekend and Mother's Day?
You know what? The weekend doesn't look that bad. I think we'll still have this disturbance kind of lingering, but it looks like some drier air will work in this weekend, and it's not going to be nearly as wet this weekend. There could be a couple isolated showers and maybe a storm around Saturday, Sunday, but very hit or miss, not much rain, and mostly dry this weekend in the upper 70s for high temperatures.
Okay, Alexa Trishler, WWL Louisiana Forecast Center. Thanks for the information.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, have a great afternoon. About 11,000 energy customers are without power. We're going to do the best we can to get a hold of energy, and we'll give you an update on that when we can. All right, let's take a look at Scoot's news briefs. Associated Press correspondent Giovanna Del Orto says that the scene at the Sistine Chapel where the 133 Cardinals have begun is very secretive. It's a centuries-old ritual of electing a new pope.
There will be presumably one ballot tonight. And then if a decision is not reached tonight, there'll be two ballots in the morning and two ballots in the afternoon until they reach the necessary two-thirds majority, which is 89 votes, at least, for the next pope. How will we know? Because we will see smoke coming out of the chimney on top of the Sistine Chapel. It will either be black, and that means that no decision has been made, they will vote again, or it will be white, and that's when we will know that we have a pope.
And apparently the next pope is in this room. They expect the next pope to come from the 133 cardinals.
Even though it's not per se church law, most likely for the last centuries, they've chosen one of their own. So one of the cardinals that we see, that we will be watching, walking into the Sistine Chapel today, will most likely come out as Pope.
Yeah, and it's not going to be the President of the United States. You know, he had that Photoshop picture of him dressed as the Pope. It's not going to be him. And, you know, in a way, I thought it was kind of funny. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that you just really don't do if you're of sound mind and body. You know, you just stay away from that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I did think it was mildly funny. And I'm a Catholic. I wasn't that offended by it. All right. So what does it look like on the inside?
The Dean of the College of Cardinals, Giovanni Battista Re, celebrated the Mass, which is meant to pray for the 133 cardinals to find the wisdom, counsel, and understanding to elect a worthy successor to Pope Francis. Wearing bright red vestments, the cardinals process down the central aisle of the Basilica as the Sistine Chapel's boys' choir sings. They take up their seats around the main altar, which lies above the traditional burial place of St. Peter, considered to be the first pope. Hailing from 70 countries, the cardinals will soon be sequestered from the outside world, their cell phones surrendered, and airways around the Vatican jammed to prevent them from all communications until they find a new leader for the 1.4 billion member Catholic Church. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
All right, the President of the United States and his officials haven't really been on the same page when it comes to trade talks with China, but now the talks are scheduled to take place in Switzerland.
About 2 weeks ago, President Trump said,
"We've been meeting with China."
But on trade, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told a House hearing Tuesday,
"China, we have not engaged in negotiations with as of yet."
Now, both China and the U.S. have announced Bessent and China's vice premier will lead delegations to Switzerland this weekend for the first major talks between the two nations since President Trump sparked a trade war that now has U.S. tariffs against China at 145%. And Beijing's tariffs on U.S. imports at 125%. But the president predicted 2 weeks ago a fair deal would come.
Going to be fair.
Are you talking to them actively now?
Actively. Everything's active. Everybody wants to be a part of what we're doing.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
Oh, yeah, China's ready to crumble. Yeah, they're going to crawfish out of this. China's scared. We'll see what happens. The White House is once again saying, oops, sorry, just kidding, about mass layoffs at key federal agencies, hoping that those fired workers do come back.
Letters went out Tuesday restoring some of the cuts at the CDC and FDA. Some at the World Trade Center Health Program received a letter saying that the notice of upcoming HHS reduction in force is hereby revoked. That program provides health care services to 9/11 first responders and survivors, and New York City lawmakers responded with fury to the cuts. HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said earlier the 9/11 program was being merged into a new agency. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Wait a minute. So they go fire all these people behind the advice of Elon Musk and Doge. They fire all these people and now they want them back. It sounds to me like there's no plan. It sounds like they don't really know what they're doing. Israeli strikes across Gaza killed at least 59 as Israel prepares to ramp up an offensive.
Officials from Gaza's Al-Aqsa Hospital say the strikes included one attack on a school sheltering hundreds of displaced Palestinians, which killed over 20 people, including 9 women and 3 children. It was the fifth time since the war began that this school had been struck. An early morning strike on another school turned shelter killed around 1,600, according to the hospital. Meanwhile, the Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, Jan Egeland, accuses Israel of cruelty in its current Gaza campaign.
It would be absolutely catastrophic if they continue their current cruel military logic. Forcible transfer of civilian populations is an atrocity crime. It's a war crime under international law.
Egeland adds he has around 100 aid workers on the ground inside Gaza. They're telling him food has run out, bakeries have closed, and aid groups' water trucking capacities will come to a halt very soon. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
All right, things are pretty rough in South Asia. Now, India and Pakistan both have nukes. That's why it's scary that they're escalating their attacks against each other.
India has fired missiles at Pakistan in what it said was retaliation for last month's massacre of Indian tourists. New Delhi resident Deepak Kapoor says India is justified in its attack.
I think it was about time. They really pushed it too much. So I fully support the government. And of course, we should be prepared for any consequences that follow.
Pakistan's military said the Indian missiles killed more than 24 people, including women and children, in Pakistan-administered Kashmir and the country's Punjab province. Defense editor of The Economist, Shashank Joshi, says Pakistan is likely to respond to the attack.
I would be surprised, let's put it this way, if we didn't see some kind of at least symbolic Pakistani retaliatory missile attack on Indian soil.
Already, it's the worst confrontation between rivals since 2019, when they came close to war. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Yeah, it's really scary because they both have nukes, and that's a look at Scoot's news briefs. Let's just hope that that works out okay, because, again, India and Pakistan, they got the big bombs. Hey, if you want to join us for the comment this afternoon, the Okunhard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870 on this rainy Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, so today is the deadline for getting the real ID. Now, this started because of 9/11. There was going to be this idea of having a national ID. The state IDs are slightly different, and the idea of having a real ID, a national ID, was a good idea. But I haven't gotten mine yet. But if you haven't gotten the real ID yet, it's okay. Your driver's license is still active. It is still valid for doing whatever you need to do. And you can still apparently fly with your driver's license. But ultimately, we're all going to have to get the real ID. All right, let's go to James and Harvey. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me? I don't need to pick you off speaker.
I can hear you.
All right, dude. Thanks for letting me talk. I want to talk about a conversation I had with someone about the movie Conclave. I was watching this Sunday. One of the actors that were being interviewed, that was in Conclave, just being interviewed. And the interviewer described why four of the major cardinals were dismissed. And one she described as being too conservative and radical. The second one was too progressive and not traditional enough. The third one was because he probably was removed from being a cardinal for some stuff he did. And the fourth one, of course, he was removed because he was African. And when I tried to tell a friend of mine why that bothered me. Well, that's, of course, none of them deserved it. And with people just thinking just because he was African, even though he didn't deserve it because of what he did, the guy didn't watch the movie. He didn't know. He just knew he was African. He shouldn't have been a cardinal. In this country, we don't get accepted as normal human beings in this country.
Well, so, I mean, look, there still is a degree of truth with that, James, but in a lot of ways, that's no longer true. I don't want to perpetrate that image. That's, I mean, the idea that African-Americans are three-fifths of a human or three-eighths of a human, whatever it was in the past, that's long gone. I mean, not in the minds of everybody, but I think it's long gone.
Okay, but my point is that not only was on one television show where that was described that way. I heard too. That's why I even brought it up. And I don't hear anybody even saying that, yeah, that's the reason why the guy was gone. The guy was gone because he had done something, not because he was African.
Yeah. Well, so that shouldn't, that should not be a reason to disqualify.
I just wanted to make that note. Yeah. Right. I just wanted to make that note.
Okay. That should not be a reason to disqualify anybody from anything, for that matter.
Amen.
All right.
Keep going, Scoot.
All right, James, I appreciate the call. All right, again, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okunhard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We still have a lot to get to this afternoon. Again, I want to go into a little more detail about the update on the woman raising hundreds of thousands of dollars now in support of shouting the N-word at a five-year-old child. The amount is now up to $739,000. The people who are sending money are racist. You are a racist if you support using the N-word. It is a derogatory term that is designed, whether you realize it or not, it's designed to make you feel superior. It's designed to put somebody else down and to make you feel better about yourself. But there's a problem with this whole story, and we'll talk about that next hour. Also, coming up in the next hour, I want to talk about the furry bill. Now, look, you think this is a joke. It's not a joke. There was a Republican in Texas who was sponsoring a bill that would eliminate non-human behavior in the classroom. It would eliminate litter boxes being put in the bathrooms so children who relate to animals could use the litter box instead of the urinal or instead of the toilet. Anyway, I want to talk about why the bill failed. And that's the comic relief of all of this. You know, furries are people who, you know, dress up like animals. And they relate to being an animal. I think that there's a segment of the population. And by the way, it's not just young kids. It's adults, too. I've got locked in a hotel once, happened to just check into a hotel where there was a furry convention going on, and I had no idea what the hell was going on. And then I figured it out, and I was a little bit shocked. Anyway, we'll talk about why that bill failed coming up in the next hour. All right, we're still waiting for the white smoke. We haven't seen any smoke yet. We'll also talk about the four cardinals who are favored to possibly become the next pope. I hope the next pope is liberal like Pope Francis. Now, that has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with Catholic doctrine. And I hope he's liberal in interpreting a lot of things about the church. Some people might want a conservative pope to go back to a more strict interpretation of Catholic doctrine. So I hope he's more liberal, so we'll see what happens. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1998, country singer, songwriter Eddie Rabbit passed away, died of lung cancer at the age of 56. Might have been a smoker. Yeah, man, don't smoke. This was one of his big hits. All right, also coming up in the next hour, Chris Cuomo from News Nation just ripped into a senator who refused to show up at his show, who bailed at the very last minute, right before the show was to start. And Chris Cuomo called him a coward and said, what a punk ass move. We'll tell you who that senator was. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene says she never said there were Jewish space lasers starting wildfires in California.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Liar. All right. The good news is it looks like the heaviest rain is over. Man, I was in my apartment at West End when that storm system came through earlier, and also heard from somebody in Marrero, and they thought that a tornado did hit. And you hear that they're looking into whether or not a tornado hit Marrero. There are still some energy customers without power, and energy apparently is working on it. But that was one vicious storm that came through this morning. I thought this was going to happen more on and off all day. For us in the immediate New Orleans area, but it's not. Now, some of you listening to the show might be going through some rounds of heavy rain throughout the day. But for the New Orleans area, it looks like the worst is over, and we're just expecting scattered showers. I mean, I'm looking out of the studio window. It's very gray, cloudy, and it looks drizzly out there, but no severe weather. And it doesn't look like we're going to have severe weather tomorrow. So that's very, very good news. Look, Friday might be a rainy day, but the good news is it looks like the weekend's going to be pretty nice. Mother's Day should be nice as well. So the worst of the rain seems to be over for New Orleans, but still some storms could pop up today and tomorrow, but it's going to be more like scattered showers. I thought this was really interesting. I read that the President of the United States talked about renovating and repairing Alcatraz the day after the movie The Rock aired on local television in South Florida when he was at Mar-a-Lago. So, could the president have gotten the idea to renovate Alcatraz from watching The Rock? He was there in South Florida. I mean, we know he doesn't read books. So I'm assuming he watches a lot of TV. He can't just watch the news. I mean, he's got to watch a good movie now and then. The Rock was a hell of a movie. Loved it. A lot of action in that movie. But I wonder if that's where he got the idea. You know, he got the idea from John Voight, the actor, to put a 100% tariff on foreign films. He got the idea to hold somebody accountable for the national security breach that took place when they were sharing the attack plans against the Houthis in Yemen with a journalist. That idea came from Laura Loomer. I think she likes him. I think he likes her. I mean, if you look at Laura Loomer, she looks like his type. And I'm not saying they've done anything, but I think they really like each other. And he obviously respects her. I mean, I don't know much about her. She's kind of an activist and a strong supporter of the president. But I don't know much about her beyond that. And she apparently gave him the idea because after she talked to him, then, you know, he didn't come up with it. She came up with it. And then the next day he started talking about doing stuff. Last night. Now, for those of you who remember Saturday Night Live from the past, you're going to so remember this. Last night, this was brilliant. Stephen Colbert had Father Guido Sarducci on talking about the conclave. I mean, that was so awesome. It was Father Guido Sarducci, who was on Saturday Night Live for many years, and he was on Stephen Colbert last night talking about the conclave. Still going on, they expect there to be a vote tonight. There are, I believe, 133 cardinals in the Sistine Chapel. And if you saw the movie Conclave, you know a little bit about the process. A lot of politicking that apparently goes on. And so, wait, there was black smoke? Okay, so right now we are getting black smoke at the Sistine Chapel, so that means they don't have a decision yet. It would be very unlikely that they could come to a conclusion that quickly. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later about the four favorites. And, you know, we live in a world where you can bet on everything. And you can bet on who's going to be the next pope. And there are odds. So they've got a couple of favorites, but it could be a total outsider. Now, as I have said, I'm a Catholic. As I have said, I loved Pope Francis. I love that he was so inclusive. I love that he seemed to he had total respect for Catholic doctrine, but he didn't interpret it so strictly as some do. He didn't really change anything about the church, but he opened up conversations. He opened up the idea of not being so harshly judgmental of the LGBTQ community, for example. And for Catholics who are remarried and taking communion, you know, the Catholic Church is very strict about that. And that's one of the things that, you know, really bothered me about the church. Also, the idea of annulment. You know, I was I was born Episcopal. And when I was married, my wife, my fiance was Catholic. And so I was baptized and confirmed Catholic as an adult right before we got married. And when we divorced, I was, you know, years later, I remarried. And, you know, basically, I wasn't supposed to go to communion. But I went to communion. I disagreed with the church on that. It never occurred to me to have an annulment. And so that's the rule. If you're a Catholic and you're remarried, you're not supposed to go to communion unless you've had your original marriage annulled. And I thought, wait a minute, God knew the marriage took place. It took place in front of God. So he knew it happened. So I'm going to put my name on a piece of paper that basically said that it really wasn't a marriage or there are reasons why it shouldn't count. I just thought that was hypocritical. Now, if you chose to get an annulment and you're happy with that, I'm not criticizing you. That's fine. But it wasn't for me. I thought it was very hypocritical. Plus, I had a son. And I'm going to act like this marriage didn't take place. So I was very happily going to communion. It was my own decision to do that. But there are a lot of Catholics today who are going to communion and they're remarried. Their original marriage was not annulled. So that's against what the church believes. So there are a lot of things that we do. You don't have to agree with everything about the church to go to the church or to go to Mass. And some people think, well, you're not really a Catholic. Well, think about all the people who are divorced and remarried. Well, are you saying they shouldn't go to Mass? And I've talked about this before. The Catholic Church is against the death penalty. So if you are for the death penalty, are you going to church and accepting communion and you're all part of the church and everything? Well, you disagree with the church on when it comes to capital punishment. So what's the difference? Well, there is no difference. So I think there are things that we can disagree with and within our own conscience make decisions about whether or not we take communion. And communion is like the, you know, one of the ultimate sacraments. And so I think that, you know, personally, I think it's okay if you don't agree with everything the church says, and it's okay to go to communion. Again, that's my opinion. If you have a different view of that, that's certainly your right to have that different opinion. But I'm hoping for a liberal pope. And again, I remind you, I use the word liberal. It has nothing to do with Democrats. It has nothing to do with politics. But I'm hoping for somebody who does not so strictly interpret man-made laws. And that's what Catholic doctrine is. It's man-made rules, man-made laws, and some of them don't make sense to me. So I'm hoping for a liberal pope. There are some people who are probably hoping for a very conservative pope who is like some of the popes in the past, like Pope John Paul II. There was a time that I thought Pope John Paul II was going to be kind of a lib, but man, he turned out to be, toward the end, he turned out to be really, really conservative. All right, so let's talk about this bill that was going to ban furry activity in schools. The bill was sponsored by Texas Republican Stan Gertes from Smithville, Texas. He introduced a bill that would outlaw furry behaviors, meowing, defecating in litter boxes at school. Now, this is the funny part. And I said this all along. I've talked about this from the very beginning of this story. It's a news story. The story is that there is a school, I think Michigan, but a school somewhere, and the students that relate to animals, the furries in particular, they were demanding that litter boxes be placed in the bathrooms so they could use litter boxes instead of urinals or the toilet. Now, when you're talking about number two, are you going to use the litter box after somebody else did number two in the litter box? And then when you're finished, are you going to use your hands to scratch over your number two? I mean, that's just not even practical. Well, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that it's not even true. There were right-wing radicals that took this mythical story and made it seem like it's real. I don't know how it originated, but it was never true. It never happened. There was not a school in Michigan or anywhere that put litter boxes in the bathrooms for the kids that related to being animals. So the whole bill, and I talked about this at the time that we first learned about it being introduced, the whole furry bill in Texas was based on falsehood. It was based on a false story. Well, when this Republican in Texas, Stan Gertes, when he was challenged with providing an example of what happened in a school, he couldn't give any. So they threw the bill out. I mean, you know, how absurd. It's ridiculous that it went that far, but it just goes to show you how some people are just boneheads perpetrating a fake story, not even caring, or maybe finding a source, not even caring about the truth, but finding sources that will support the story that you want to believe is true. You want to believe that our schools under Biden were so liberal that they were putting litter boxes in classrooms. Well, that didn't happen. And the guy's bill got thrown out. And this is laughable. The guy's bill got thrown out because it wasn't true. All right. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the new information out concerning the woman, Shiloh Hendricks, who has now raised over $739,000. Because she used the N-word. There are people supporting her because she used the N-word. So we'll talk about that when we come back. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 1983 that the Great Ken Band from San Francisco had reached number two on the Hot 100 chart with a song called Jeopardy. A year later, Weird Al Yankovic came out with this parody. This guy is brilliant. Greg Ken reaches number two on the Hot 100 chart. A year later, on this day in 1983, Weird Al Yankovic releases I Lost on Jeopardy. Love it. I'm Scoot. This is WWL. Have you heard a lot about the crisis at the border recently? We haven't been talking about it. It's because it's really not in the news. Do you know why? Because the president of the United States did something about the border. My question is, why didn't the other president, President Biden, try to do the same thing? Contrary to what many believe, I was viciously critical of President Biden for failing to do anything about the border. And the new president comes into office and the border is no longer a problem. There are a few people coming across our border, but not the thousands per day that were coming across the border. So I give the president of the United States credit for changing the crisis at the border. I still think in general we have a crisis at the border and more needs to be done. But I applaud what the president has done, and I wonder why Biden didn't do anything about it. And why those around Biden didn't force him to do something about it. And there's still this story going around about the media hiding Biden's condition. Why the liberal media hid Biden's condition from the American public. That's not true. The media didn't know. Biden's condition, his mental condition, was not known by the media. It was kept a secret. I guarantee you, if the media knew about it, they would have reported it. They would have been all over the news. The media is not going to ignore a story like that. And as biased as you think the media is, the media has traditionally shown that it's more interested in a good story than in its protecting a political ideology. For example, the liberal media viciously bashed Bill Clinton when it came to the Monica Lewinsky case. The liberal media exposed everything about Monica Lewinsky. And that hurt Bill Clinton. And there are many cases like that throughout history. So the media is always interested in the best story, and they don't give a damn who's involved. If it's a good story, they'll go with it. And I'll tell you that, and I'm not the only one who believes this, but the media did not know about Joe Biden. If I had known about Joe Biden, I would have talked about it. We alluded to it, but we didn't know for sure, so we couldn't say anything. I mean, you have to be careful about saying something about somebody's mental health on the air unless you know for sure. So, you know, we didn't know. So the media did not know. So if you're locked into the conservative media echo chamber and you're hearing that, you know, the liberal media protected Joe Biden. No, it didn't. The liberal media didn't know about Joe Biden because the liberal media would not have protected Joe Biden. And I think that so many people in the liberal media, and I say this in jest, I don't think this is the problem that some people perceive it to be. But again, some people love to have an enemy. But the media that many consider to be liberal would have run with that story. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text from Paul in Michigan. He says the rumors about the litter boxes in the classroom started from teachers preparing for possible lockdowns by bringing in buckets with kitty litters and lids so that the kids had a place to evacuate, pardon the pun. But then the right-wing extremists twisted the story to fit their narrative.
Yeah.
These people are destroying our country by any means necessary. Yeah.
That so often happens. The right-wing radicals. And again, if you're a Republican or a conservative and you're not a right-wing radical, then we're not talking about you. Please don't take this personally. It's not about you. It's about the right-wing radicals. They do twist stories to fit their agenda. And that's what happened here. Great explanation.
Here's a text from Sal about Shiloh Hendricks. The woman who used the slur is wrong. The bigger issue is, can you tell me any other racial or ethnic slur that has ever been stricken from a language? They may still get your butt kicked, but you still have the right to show your ignorance.
Well, you still have a right to show your ignorance. I mean, you can show your ignorance with the use of the N-word. You have the freedom to do that. But again, it's showing your ignorance. I don't know if there, I can't think offhand of another word that is that damaging. I think, you know, the, it's not as damaging, but it's damaging. The F word for homosexuals, the C word for women. And I don't mean compromise. There are words that are derogatory and can be perceived as damaging, but I don't know if there's anything as damaging as the N-word. I can't think of it.
Here's a text that says, people are giving that woman money not because she said the N-word, but because of the effort to cancel her and ruin her life over it. Cancel culture is what people are fighting with the donation. It's a response to the Carmelo murderer getting all the money from blacks, which is sick. They did it first. I hope you are all just as disgusted by the gives and go for Carmelo Anthony amid all of the racist comments from blacks.
Yes, we are. In fact, did we ever get a hold of anybody with the NAACP in Rochester, Minnesota?
No, we didn't.
Okay, let's try and get a hold of them, because as of yesterday, they raised $431,000 on a GoFundMe account for the young boy. Why? I mean, precisely what is that money being raised for? I understand the argument about cancel culture, but I don't think this is that. I don't think this is that. I mean, the use of the N-word. I mean, if you're talking about this being an attack on cancel culture, then you're vicariously endorsing the use of the word, well, the N-word. And I don't think it needs to be used. And I think we can talk about banning the N-word without talking about cancel culture. So I understand that argument, but I don't think it's a legitimate argument.
A lot of the people on the text line are asking us to talk about that Carmelo Anthony case. And, you know, look, nobody's going to defend that kid. He stabbed that kid. He murdered that kid. It seems like that's kind of open and shut. But their GoFundMe says, you know, this is for legal defenses and we're going to try and protect our family because we're being threatened. Where Shiloh Hendricks is. Gives and go comes out and says, I did it. I called the kid what he is. I'm not ashamed. I'm not sorry at all. Well, so they're not too, they're not exactly apples and apples here.
Right. And do we know if there really were threats against her? I mean, do we have real,
again,
credible information?
That's
about
all
that?
Her framing.
Okay, so we don't know if there really were threats against her, and if there were, there should not be. You can disagree with the use of the N-word, but you don't threaten somebody's life or their livelihood because they use, well, maybe their livelihood, but you don't threaten somebody's life because they use the N-word. That's, you know, that's wrong.
Here's a text that says, I'm 70 years old, born and raised in New Orleans. When I was young, using the N-word was very commonplace. As I got older, it became politically incorrect, so we stopped. My kids were never exposed to that. I'm not offended hearing it, but I am sympathetic to those that it offends. Entertainers use it, friends use it, I don't care. I choose not to use it. It seems like a sign of ignorance and racism, and I am neither.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Totally agree. But don't say, oh, it was politically correct. Like it's not worth denouncing the word. Like this is some kind of a cheap political correctness case. I think sometimes it's okay to say, wait a minute. If you do this, then you actually actively insult somebody. You know, why do that? I mean, there are aspects of woke, there are aspects of being politically incorrect that are not wrong. For example, tell me why this is wrong. This is considered woke. There are plus size mannequins now at Victoria's Secret. Plus size mannequins. That's considered woke. Oh my God, Victoria's Secret is woke. What about all of the women who are plus size? What about all of the women who are plus size who want to feel sexy, who want to feel included? Is there anything wrong with the wokeness of doing plus size mannequins at Victoria's Secret? No, there's nothing wrong with that. The idea of making people of different sizes feel comfortable, I think, is good. There are a lot of men out there who are bigger than they might want to be. And it's not just the difference between eating salad and eating a hot fudge sundae. people are made differently. And some people are just naturally thin, and some people naturally have the ability to gain weight. Some people just have, I mean, there's different body types out there. So when I see these plus-size mannequins at Victoria's Secret, I'm thinking, this is great. I didn't see that. I didn't see that when I was younger. And back in the 80s, when people were buying more of that than they are today, I believe. And that's another interesting topic. Do young generations get into to teddies and garters and all of that stuff the way my generation did when we were younger? I don't think so, but I think that's an interesting topic. But the plus-size models, that's considered woke. But that's just nothing more than including people. The N-word is nothing more than excluding or demeaning people, so it doesn't need to be used.
Just give you a couple quick ones here about the conclave. Mark in Slidell says, if my pope comes in second, do I get my bet back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, Mark.
I don't know. Are the sports betting sites, are they doing it? Like, you know,
why wouldn't they?
I guess so. I mean, you can bet on who's going to be the next football. I'm going to give you the favorites coming up in a few minutes. I'll give you the four favorites. There are four favorites in particular, and then there are two others, and one of them is actually an American, who are considered to be in the running. But we just, a little while ago, now it's nighttime in Italy. So they've had a long day in Italy going through this, and now they're going to, you know, get rid of the robes, and they're going to, you know, party down. The Cardinals are going to, you know, party down. Because, you know, Catholics party. Catholics drink. And Catholics party, so I'm sure there's some liquor being poured tonight around the Cardinals, but we saw black smoke, so it means that there's no decision yet.
And I'll leave you with this one. Here's a text that says, "I hope it ends up being Pope Cicola."
That would be very cool. All right. On this day in 1991, on the SOTA rock culture calendar, a judge in Macon, Georgia, dismissed a wrongful death lawsuit against Ozzy Osbourne. There was a local couple who sued Ozzy Osbourne because they claimed that their son was inspired by Ozzy's music to commit suicide. Now, if you're the parents of a child that takes his or her life, I mean, you're pretty desperate. And you've got to be trying to reach out to find a reason. And you don't want to think that it has anything to do with you. And maybe it doesn't have anything to do with you. You know, the children that take their own lives, that's not necessarily a direct reflection of the parents. But some parents might just intrinsically feel guilty about that. But they wanted to blame Ozzy Osbourne. And on this day in 1991, a judge in Macon, Georgia, dismissed the wrongful death case against Ozzy, basically saying it's not the music. It's not the music, and this is not the first time this has happened in court. Courts continue to say you can't blame the music for negative behavior. It is the responsibility of the individual. And that's the way it should be. I mean, we can't go around excusing negative behavior because of music. You know, when Charles Manson was on trial, he tried to claim that the Beatles, Helter Skelter, the Beatles' music inspired him to direct others to go commit murder. You know, back in the 70s, that was considered ridiculous. Today, people take that kind of thing seriously. Oh, I don't know. Maybe Charles Manson wasn't a bad guy. Maybe it was that Beatles music. Look, it's not the music. I'm Scoot on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1968, he was on a plane heading home from his last gig with a band called Bluesology. He was a keyboard player. His name is Reginald Dwight. He was looking for a stage name that would be better than Reginald Dwight. Plus, he wanted to get away from who he was because he didn't like his life and hated his home life, so he didn't want to be Reginald Dwight. In looking for a new name in the cabin of the plane, there was another band on board. The horn player of the band was called Elton Dean. That was his name, Elton Dean. The lead singer was Long John Baydry. So he asked, can I use your names, Elton and John, to use my name on stage, Elton John? And that's how Elton John got his name. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment, Oakland Heart Jewelers, talking text line 504-260-1870. Coming up in the next hour, I'll tell you about Chris Cuomo, the host on News Nation. There was a host, not a host, there was a guest who was expected to be on the show at the very last minute, minutes before the show started yesterday. This guest bailed. Chris Cuomo called him a coward and said, what a punk ass move. I'll tell you who that senator was in the next hour. Marjorie Taylor Greene says she never said Jewish space lasers. Well, she's right in one way, wrong in another. We'll clear that up next hour. But right now, Ian's got some interesting text to get to.
Yeah, you spoke a little bit about the last segment about, you know, plus sized mannequins.
Yeah.
And a couple people texted in some sort of variation on this theme. Do you also tell the people that you're trying to convince that plus sized models, that it's great, that it's also not healthy? I'll wait for your answer.
Well, I guess you don't know much about plus size. You could be a plus size person and be very healthy. You're just not as slim as other people. But you can correct me if I'm wrong here. You can be a plus size model and not be obese. Plus size models are just people who are not really skinny. I mean, some people, you know, kind of joke about that. Well, they're big boned. I mean, some people are just a little bigger than other people. And some people have different kinds of bodies, and they don't just fit into the slimmest stuff that, you know, you're used to seeing at Victoria's Secret. At least the display models have been really, really thin. And I just think it's very healthy for people who are plus size to think, hey, you know what? I can be sexy too.
Yeah, what we might consider to be plus size today includes body types that have been pretty typical for women for thousands of years. If it were not for the modern advertising industry's compulsive need to elevate super skinny women and say that that's the standard of beauty, then we wouldn't be talking about plus size mannequins like they're some crazy exotic outlier. That's just what a lot of women look like and have always looked like.
Marilyn Monroe was plus size.
Absolutely right.
Marilyn Monroe was plus size. So, you know, I don't want to make you feel silly, but that was a silly text.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being super skinny either. Lucky you, right? That's what, yeah, Madison Avenue, yeah, decided beauty is, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not, like, starving yourself,
right,
to death. I mean, as long as you're ill. The key is to be healthy. And some people are just naturally skinnier than other people. And the, you know, the plus size mannequin at Victoria's Secret, that's considered woke. But I don't think that's a bad thing.
I'll give you two more quick ones. Here's one that says, hey, Scoot, I love that you're talking about that Aura frame. I absolutely love ours. We got one from my mother-in-law.
Oh, cool.
And you said you can add pictures when you get home. What I really enjoy is you can add pictures way before that.
Yes.
We add pictures to my mother-in-law's frame while we are still on vacation with the kids. She automatically starts seeing pictures of her grandchildren at the beach or the theme park or wherever.
Say, I love that. Thank you for that text. But yeah, that's another thing about the Aura frame, A-U-R-A. Yeah, you can download pictures on somebody else, like your mother, your mother-in-law. You can download pictures on her Aura frame. So yeah, she's seeing the kids and the grandkids.
You can be at Key West and you can take a picture of your kid playing around in the surf, and
yeah,
your grandmother in Dubuque, Iowa sees the picture.
Yep, it's really awesome.
And I'll leave you with this one. Mark is listening today, and Mark knows all about history, and he tells us that after the conclave ends, the cardinals are drinking Cardinales, which is a 1950s era combination of gin, Campari, and dry vermouth, born in Rome.
Whoa!
Well, I've got to kind of call a, I got to call this a gin, Campari, and vermouth is a Negroni.
Oh,
so I don't know where this Cardinales came from. They're drinking Negronis in there. I could be a cardinal just to go drink some Negronis.
I don't know about the names, but that sounds like one wicked drink.
Oh.
On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1998, Steve Perry officially left Journey. And I've shared with you new Steve Perry. Steve Perry, who's been in basically in hiding and hibernation since he left Journey, is out with new music. He's featured on this song by a band called The Effect, and it's the son of a guitar player from the band Toto, who's also part of this band. But it's an old 1986 Journey song, a deep cut, It Could Have Been You, wasn't a big hit. But Steve Perry is out singing again, and I think the guy looks great. And I just love that he's singing again. So this is a new Steve Perry. On this day in 1998, when he was in his 30s, he left Journey. He's 76 years old today. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. All right, we'll have the names of the four cardinals favored to become the Pope. We'll talk about the new information about the woman who used the N-word. And did Marjorie Taylor Greene say Jewish space lasers caused fires in California? We'll set the record straight on all of that coming up. Chris Miller coming up is going to have the latest on the energy customers who have been without power. I'm Scoot on the air, and this is WWL. If you are without power in Jefferson Parish because of just that vicious weather that swept through here earlier today, you will have power. Energy says all of you will have power no later than midnight. But many of you will have power before that. So that's the latest it will be, midnight. I know that's a long damn time. I know it is. But I would rather Energy be conservative when they talk about this and not try to be too aggressive, because there's nothing worse than you're told the power is going to come back at a certain time and it's not back. I would rather Energy say it will be back by midnight and you get it back earlier than they say, well, you know, I mean, it could be 10 o'clock, could be 9 o'clock. So I think they're handling that in the right way. So no later than midnight. I mean, at least you're going to get it back today. And I know it's tough. And I know it's a little on the warm side, but at least the sun's not bearing down and it's not too hot. There is a bride who freaked out because the groom. Now, you could tell me if you think this is wrong. Some people might think this is okay. But a bride freaked out because the person she was marrying, the groom, tried to book his sister-in-law to dance for the bachelor party. I can see why she would freak out. That's her sister. And she's coming to entertain at the bachelor party. I don't know. I think that might be considered a little inappropriate. All right. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the wacko congresswoman from Georgia. She said she never said Jewish space lasers. Well, she's kind of right. She never actually said that. That was the headline. But you know, the media, whether it's print, online, or on the air, the media is always looking for a good headline. So here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene actually said. She was speculating, this was during the California wildfires, and she was speculating about internet reports of, quote, lasers or blue beams of light causing the fires, you know, coming from high in the sky. Lasers or blue beams of light causing the fires. And this was a fire that had killed 85 people in California, 150 acres, known as the Camp Fire in California. She said that they may be caused by space solar generators launched by businesses funded by the Rothschild Investment Group to clear space for a Democratic high-speed rail project in the state of California. So she was trying to blame Democrats, and by mentioning the Rothschild Investment Group, that's a Jewish name, the headline was reduced to Marjorie Taylor Greene blames Jewish space lasers. Now, she said lasers, she said space solar generators, and she said the name of a Jewish investment group. So the headline was accurate. So she's right. She didn't actually say Jewish space lasers, but that was everything that she implied. And the headline was a little more specific than what she actually said. But, you know, she essentially did say that. All right. Let me give you the names of the four popes. I'm sorry, the four cardinals that are favored to be pope. Pietro Parolin is a secretary of state there at the Vatican. Peter Erdov is from Hungary. Jean-Marc Avelin is from France. Pierre Battista Pizzaballa is a Latin patriarch from Jerusalem. Those are the four front runners. There are many others that are considered in the running. I mean, not like hundreds, but maybe a dozen more considered in the running. Among those favored are Cardinals Cristobal Lopez Romero from Morocco and Robert Prevost, an American Vatican insider. So an American is possible. Now, apparently, the Pope or the new Pope doesn't have to actually be one of the 133 cardinals in the room. But apparently, most of the insiders are saying that the new Pope is going to come from inside that particular room. And I guess you could vote for yourself. I mean, I don't know about that for sure, but I guess you can vote for yourself. Anyway, we're trying to find out a little bit more about what's going on after the first day of voting here. So the first day of voting has passed, and we're trying to find out a little bit more about that. So once we get an update on that, we're going to pass that information on to you. So it's really interesting that the president of the United States went into a rant again about the fake Kamala Harris interview on 60 Minutes. And the president is suing 60 Minutes and CBS for a fake, corrupt, anti-Trump propaganda interview. And the whole problem here is that 60 Minutes edited the interview of Kamala Harris. Well, let's go back to October 24th, 2024. Here's the story. Fox News edited Trump interview days after former president slammed Harris over 60 Minutes sit down. So just days after the current president condemned 60 Minutes and CBS for editing the Kamala Harris interview, Fox News edited the Trump interview. And so the current president had an interview with Fox News, and there was more than one report out that said that Fox News edited the interview with the presidential candidate at the time because he was just babbling on about things, rambling on, and they didn't want to present him in a negative light, so they edited some of the interview. The idea that interviews are edited is not a big deal. The idea that interviews are edited maybe to present somebody in a positive light is not new. And Fox News did it, and CBS News did it. So what's the difference? There really is no difference. Now, if you live in the echo chamber of conservatives, then you believe that CBS was wrong. If you live in the real world of radical moderates, if you live in the real world of moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats, if you live in the real world, if you have logic and common sense, then you know that there's no difference between Fox News editing an interview with the Republican candidate at the time and 60 Minutes editing the Kamala Harris interview. It's exactly the same thing. So there are people who are asking CBS and 60 Minutes to stand up to the current president and not bow to this lawsuit and not feel pressured to change anything because these things are edited. And Fox News has an agenda. They present the president in the most positive possible light. And so if 60 Minutes wants to present Kamala Harris in a positive light, they have every right to do that as well. Now, I know we would like everything to be objective, but it's not. But I just think that this is such a big deal about nothing. And I really hope 60 Minutes doesn't bend to this. And it makes me wonder about the mental capacity of the current president when he doesn't see a difference. He actually thinks there's a difference. He doesn't see it as similar. He thinks it's totally different when he's edited and when Kamala Harris is edited. And it doesn't make sense that somebody doesn't understand that, because it's exactly the same thing. So I just find that really strange. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk a little bit more about the new information that has come out. Now, I want to get this out there. It's about Shiloh Hendricks, the woman who has now raised over $739,000 after using the N-word when she was shouting at a 5-year-old black child. but there's something suspect about this new information that's out. But I want to cover it because I want those living in the conservative world and echo chamber to realize that we did acknowledge this information. But there's a reason why we don't take it too seriously. So that's going to be coming up here in just a few minutes. Okay, wait. I'm hearing now. Okay, I'm hearing now that we do have the live hookup. Okay, so we have this live hookup. The first round of voting by the Cardinals is over, and we saw black smoke coming from the chimney at the Sistine Chapel, indicating that there is no new pope yet. White smoke would indicate there's a new pope. So there was black smoke. No new pope. So the day of voting is over. The Cardinals are now relaxing, and we have access to a live feed from the room where the Cardinals have gathered. So let's go live to that feed. Okay. There was a lot of tension. A lot of tension. And, you know, obviously they're relaxing. And you know Catholics know how to drink. All right, there is a gala coming up. You know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of publicity on the Met Gala recently. And the young actor Timothy Chalamet was supposed to be there, but he wasn't. He was at the Knicks game. The Knicks beat the Celtics in Boston. That was amazing. Amazing. I mean, a lot of the teams in the playoffs in the NBA right now have beaten the home team on their home court. So, you know, I think it's pretty exciting. But there's a gala coming up. It's the Guardian Angel Awards Gala. It's May 9th. It's coming up on, what, that would be Friday, I guess? Friday? JW Marriott Hotel on Canal Street. This is to benefit Project Lazarus. It's the 40th anniversary of Project Lazarus serving the HIV community, and this is their annual gala. And Ian Abicko is the executive director of the project, and he joins us on WWL. Ian, welcome to the show.
Good. Hey, great to talk to you. And as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, I'm cringing at the NBA reference.
It's not turning out the way everybody wants, but yeah, I think there's been some exciting basketball. So, Ian, look, Project Lazarus, really worthwhile, even though a lot has changed. People need to not forget. I mean, there's a lot that's changed. I mean, there's even medicine out there right now that, you know, if you take it, it will prevent you from getting HIV, and just a lot of advances. But Project Lazarus still needs help, and you're having this big gala to raise money.
Lazarus. Yeah, absolutely. With Project Lazarus. Yeah, our gala is on May 9th, as you said, at 6 p.m. the JW Marriott. We still have tickets available. If you go to projectlazarus.net, you can find tickets to our gala on May 9th that will benefit our programming.
Okay, what do people get for the price?
Sure, you get a full course meal. You get to enjoy many of the festivities there at the event. There's a wine pool. There's a silent auction. There's a live auction. And you get to participate really just in honoring the three wonderful people that we're recognizing that evening. We have two guardian angels and then one person receiving our Father Powell DeRozier Award. Those are in the namesake of our founders. So there's only been six people historically that have achieved that award.
Ian, how does Project Lazarus, how does it help people? How do people benefit from what you do?
Yeah, so Project Lazarus, like you said, has been around for 40 years, and much has changed over time in terms of HIV treatment and care. With that, HIV services at Project Lazarus have changed. You know, people used to come in our doors and they wouldn't leave. And nowadays, people come there to get better. They come there to heal, to reset, to receive substance use counseling, HIV counseling, get their nutrition back in line, get some stability with their housing. And the ultimate goal is to find employment, find stability, and find some permanent housing that so they can really take ownership of their health and go on to live a happy, normal life that we all know that they can.
You know, it's interesting that over the years, so much has changed, because there was a time when being HIV positive was seen as a death sentence. And, you know, you can look at people like Magic Johnson. And you know, I hate that anybody became HIV positive, but he has proven to be a symbol that you can live. Now, obviously, he has money that not everybody has to get the best. But not only was he a heterosexual, but he was also somebody who showed that you can live with this and just go on with your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, I've personally been living with HIV for the past 8 years. I celebrated 8 years in February. And, you know, there's still a lot of stigma out there and misinformation around care that's available, around the longevity of one's life, and around the quality of life that someone will live with HIV. And there are people like high profile advocates out there like Magic Johnson and others, but there's also everyday people here in New Orleans like myself that go on to prove that you can reach an undetectable status, which means that if you were to be tested, that you can't detect the virus in your bloodstream, which means you can't transmit it to somebody else, regardless if that person is using protection or not. All that to say that the nature of HIV has really changed, and the quality of life that someone can live if they're taking medication each day is the same quality of life that people that aren't living with HIV can live.
Yeah, I think the hysteria is over. I mean, I remember when the conversation about HIV and AIDS first came up, people freaked out if an athlete on the football field or the basketball court started to bleed. I don't see any hysteria over that any longer.
Yeah, it's really circumstantial, and it kind of depends on the education of who you're dealing with. On a personal note, I play beach volleyball semi-professionally, and I have encountered people that, you know, when I came out about my status a few years ago publicly as an advocate, were stressed that we shared the same sweat on a volleyball. And, you know, it was an opportunity for me to educate, but you know, the hysteria isn't there as it used to be, but there is still a lot of external stigma that affects, I think, perception of people living with HIV and the quality of life they can live. But there's also a lot of internalized stigma, too, that people have. And at Project Lazarus, that's what we really try to focus on, is the internalized stigma that our residents might feel that would keep them from adhering to their medication and really envisioning a full and fruitful life for themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do so much to help people. And if somebody wants to go to the gala, I mean, there's going to be entertainment. I mean, is this going to be a full gala? It says gala, so I'm assuming it's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. There's an auction. There's going to be some great speakers. There's going to be a great dinner. I attended this gala last year as a volunteer, and here I am a year later as the director at Lazarus, which is a story in and of itself. But there's also going to be music at the end and a DJ. So it's going to be a night full of fun, a room full of really great people. And there's an auction that I think a lot of people might see some value in. So even if you can't attend the gala, our silent auction goes live in the next, I believe it goes live at 5:30 today. So if someone wants to find us at Project Lazarus NOLA on Instagram or on Facebook, you can find a link to our silent auction and participate in that way and find some great items.
Okay, for the 40th anniversary of Project Lazarus, helping the New Orleans area, 40th anniversary, the big Guardian Angel Awards Gala is this Friday, May the 9th at the JW Marriott on Canal Street, and you can get tickets and you help a really worthwhile cause, and also you're going to be entertained. And you know, look, this might be a place to network, because some really cool, influential people go to things like this, and you never know who you're going to meet. So Ian Bicko, Executive Director, thanks for being with us.
Dude, thanks for having me. Really appreciate your time.
I hope it turns out to be a fun night.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, it's a very good one. Thank you.
All right. Let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Jean. You're on WWL, Jean.
Hey there, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things just regarding the lawsuit with Trump against the TV network as far as the interview with former Vice President Harris. So for people like me that are independent and we're trying to assess who we wanted to vote for, we were very much looking forward to interviews with Harris throughout the time of the campaign. And the issue that I had was that there was only one interview, which they called live, but it was actually edited and it was only 18 minutes long. And people like Trump, whether you like him or not, did a 3-hour interview with Joe Rogan. Again, if you like him or not. The thing is that is this one example of determining who you're going to vote for. So it's helpful for the viewer or the voter. Sorry, I hate talking on radio.
You're doing fine, Sean. Well, you know, look, like, I understand the point you're making. Kamala Harris was not a good candidate, and she did not address issues. She did not show who she was or who she was going to be. She just sort of kind of played along with she's going to be a continuation of Biden, and that was not a good thing. I mean, there's so many things to criticize about her as a candidate, and you're bringing up one of them.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for that. I definitely gave her the benefit of the doubt, much like I did our mayor. I gave me reason to nod, and then I was part of the recall. But in any event, I digress. So there's just that point of view, and I can understand that because a lot of us turn to the legacy media to help us make our decisions on politics and current affairs. And that brings me to my second point. I know that there are a lot of people that say you can't trust legacy media. And for me personally, I get my information from several sources. I've talked to you about this before. It's because I don't feel like the legacy media really, I do feel that it is biased to an extent. And I will use the example of Barry Weiss, who is the founder of the Free Press, which is nonpartisan. And she is a former New York Times writer who is very far liberal and is married to a woman, if that means anything about what being a liberal is about. But it's a progressive thing, I think, to be married to someone of the same sex. And she was criticized and threatened by her co-workers because she wanted to report more equal news, and her supervisors would not come to her aid. So she ended up quitting the job of her lifetime and then forming her own publication, journalism, not network, but she does interviews and so on, et cetera. I encourage everyone to look into it. So to me, that is a valid source that's telling me I was within the belly of the beast, and it is biased. And then I'll give you two examples that are relatively recent, and then I'll let you take it away. Pam Bondi, the U.S. Attorney General, just did the largest drug bust in history, where part of what they did was to acquire 3 million fentanyl pills, which is insanity, but they also took down a bunch of the top drug lords. This has not been covered in the news. You can Google it. It's not been covered. You can catch the, and it's new. It's new, but local news network channels are covering it. To me, that's very, well, we should know about that.
We're seeing that. We're seeing that in the news. I mean, we haven't gotten to it on the show today. I mentioned that she's going around talking about just this little amount of fentanyl that can kill you. And I don't criticize her for going around with fake fentanyl, but that is, that story is in the news.
In the local media, it absolutely is. I guess when we heard that one of the guys in Trump's administration was stepping down, the one that did the oopsie with Signal, I got an email blast from New York Times to let me know about this. Like, this is super important news. To me, the biggest drug bust in U.S. history is very important news. And the reason that I think that they are suppressing it is because, and again, all of this information is verifiable from verifiable sources. China is the biggest supplier of fentanyl. It's absolutely the truth. And fentanyl is coming in from the borders of Mexico. Mexico gets their fentanyl from China, and fentanyl into our country.
Okay.
Yeah, they come in through Mexico and Canada. And that's why the tariffs are going on. One last thing. The coroner reported this week that 117, that drug deaths in the last 5 years in New Orleans have gone up 117%.
Well, yeah, maybe people shouldn't do illegal drugs.
Well, maybe fentanyl should not be being...
Well, maybe we should convince people not to do drugs because fentanyl's out there. I mean, I talk about this all the time. I mean, I don't think we need to worry about making illegal drugs safer. I think we need to make people not want to do illegal drugs. I'm not against trying to stop fentanyl at the border. Sean, I'm going to have to get to a break here. Look, I understand. I appreciate your passion. But, you know, you want to decide what you think is the most important story. And there's always going to be a case of you think a story is more important than another story, but you're not in a position to make the decision of what story gets attention. There's a hell of a lot of stuff in the news right now, and while a drug bust is a big deal, it's not the biggest thing in the news right now. You might think it is, but in the determination of what gets people's attention, which is what the editors decide, what goes on the news, that's not the biggest story. It's out there, but it's not the biggest story. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, this was really an amazing feat. On this day in 1977, Hotel California was the number one song in the country. The reason that was a big deal is the song was 6 minutes and 8 seconds, and it's not often that a song that length gets to be number one. The Eagles were told to shorten it. They refused to do it. It's a really... It's a great song with just great lyrics. It's about a man who goes to a mysterious place where he can check in, but he can never leave. And this was really, Hotel California was really about the decadence of living in Los Angeles, living in the Hollywood area. It's an interpretation of living in Los Angeles. And this was from the 1976 album by the same name, won Grammy for Record of the Year in 1977. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Black Smoke Rising. That's a song from Greta Van Fleet. We saw Black Smoke earlier. It means that the Cardinals have not come to a decision yet. We'll have an update on that tomorrow. All right, Chris Cuomo of News Nation was just loving on Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. Loving on him. Loves all this stuff about him. But just bashed him because yesterday, Senator Kennedy bailed on an interview 5 minutes before showtime. That is pathetic. You don't do that, Senator. That is wrong. It is sloppy, it is cheesy, and it is just unethical and wrong. What were you scared of? Why did you bail on that interview? You know, a host has an interview prepared. They've got this whole segment of the show prepared. And 5 minutes before the interview, you bail? That is cowardly. And I like John Kennedy, but that is, I mean, I agree with Chris Cuomo. He's a coward. And Chris Cuomo said, what a punk ass move. And he's right about that. You don't bail on an interview 5 minutes before going on the air. That is cheap. And I'm really disappointed because I like John Kennedy. I like him. We continue to ask him to come on our show. He's been on our show before, but right now he won't come on. I'm not sure why. He says he listens to the show on Capitol Hill, and I'm not sure why he won't come on. We'll continue to ask him because there's some things I'd like to ask him, and maybe he doesn't want to answer those things. All right, let me talk about this new information that has come out about the woman who shouted the N-word at the 5-year-old child. This is from a pro-president media site, Daily Wire, and host Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh says he is glad Shiloh Hendricks is raising so much money. And right now it's over $730,000. He's really happy about that. He said, I'm glad she's raising the money. I hope she raises a million. He says that he looked at the video and he said the boy does not really look disabled and definitely looks older than 5 years old. Now, remember, this is coming from a pro current president media site. So I don't trust it. I have to be honest with you. I don't trust it. Maybe the child is a little older than 5. I don't know. The man who took the video knows the child. And the child doesn't look disabled. If the child if the child is autistic, somewhere on the autistic scale, then the child might not show any signs of being autistic. I mean, if a child is running, you might not know that the child is autistic. Unless a child is talking to you, you might not know if a child has autism or is even on the scale of autism. So, again, this new information is out there, but I don't trust it because of the source. It is it's dedicated to the president, the Daily Wire. Matt Walsh is a dedicated MAGA supporter, and he wants to vicariously support the use of the N-word. And I don't think there's any reason to support the use of the N-word. I'm sure there'll be more information about this. This woman is raising tons of money. And these are people who are supporting her. These are people who actually are supporting the use of the N-word. They're defending this woman and they're sending her money. Again, I just think it's so sad that in America in 2025, when I think about the baby boomer generation, the generation that I grew up with in the 60s and the mentality of that generation, I am saddened that that generation is in many ways fueling racism in America. They're not the only ones, but they're fueling racism in America. And they're part of the establishment. Well, actually, they are the establishment. But I think it's just sad that somebody gets support to the tune of over $730,000. Am I jealous? Hell yeah, I'm jealous. I'd love to have that much money. I'd love to have people send me that kind of money. I'd love to be able to do something just really, really stupid and have people send me that kind of money. I'd like to do something really good and have people send me that kind of money. So, yeah, I mean, I'm jealous of that. But I also think that it is pathetic that people are sending money in support of the use of the N-word. Sad to me. All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. I'm Scoot on the air. Join me on Facebook if you haven't done it yet. I got a lot of stuff going on Facebook, and you can join in on some of the comments. And please comment on the comments. There are a lot of comments I need some of you to comment on. So it's Instagram, Scoot on the air, and Facebook, Scoot on the air. And I love reading some of your comments. I comment on some of them, too. All right, we'll be back on WWL. All right, Wednesday at the Square canceled because of the rain today. And on Sports Talk, Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller are going to talk to Saints legendary quarterback Drew Brees at 5:20. All right, thanks to Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Courtney P. And I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot on the air. Yeah, thanks for being here. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.